we are ever concerned with what is genuine. I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, when Coke introduced New Coke, a lot of people flat rejected it. You don't remember anything much about New Coke. They don't advertise it. It's part of history because a lot of people said, no, I'm not drinking that. And they rushed to bring out Coca-Cola Classic so that people would have a choice. My mom said that the Coca-Cola Classic wasn't the Coke that she remembered. She just finally had to settle on Coca-Cola Classic as what she would drink. But she wanted that old Coke, the Coke she grew up on. That was the genuine for her. We want the real thing. We want the genuine article. In every realm, it seems, except religion. You want the true and the right when it comes to the pharmacy. You want that pharmacist to give you what the doctor ordered. You want to go to a doctor and trust that you're getting the best care that you can get. You want the genuine article. You don't want somebody who got his degree from some degree mill. You want the real thing. Of all the religions on the earth, one is real. That's what matches up with the unity of God. That if there is truth, there is one truth, not many. And so that suggests that there is only one true religion. Now, many people would argue with that, and I understand that, but it doesn't reason out. How do we weed out the pretenders and the counterfeits? We know that the Secret Service has a big job to do to weed out the counterfeits. A lot of people want to make their living, their fortune, making counterfeit bills of some sort. In the United States, the Secret Service has the job to weed those out and to find out who is giving the false money. And they do it not by studying the counterfeit. They do it by knowing the real thing, that there are attributes of each bill. And they know what they are. They know what to look for. And if they're not there, if there's something else there, if the color's not right, if the little filaments that they put in those linen bills are not there, then they know it's counterfeit. They don't have to know anything else. They just have to know what's supposed to be there. And if it's not, it's wrong. If we want to know whether something is authorized, commended, or approved by God, we should look for an event in time past that people saw to know whether it is approved or not. Something that happened in space and time that shows that God approved. Tonight, we're going to show how God showed approved before the church, and then we're going to see how God placed his stamp approval on the church of Christ. Leviticus chapter 9, if you will, verses 23 and 24. Leviticus chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Oftentimes, we study and study well Leviticus chapter 10, especially verses 1 and 2, and don't study the events surrounding it, especially before. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it simply says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire to the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." But we often miss that that was just about in the same breath as God sending fire to approve the priesthood itself, that everything was laid out, the priests were dressed by Moses, there was blood placed upon the earlobes and on the thumbs and on the big toes of the priests, and then that burnt offering was laid out, and God sent fire to let the people know this is where they were to come to offer their sacrifices, that nowhere else was there to be such done. God had instructed Moses in the building of the tabernacle and in the instituting of the priesthood. After the tabernacle was built according to the pattern, after the priests were anointed and dressed, after the sacrifice was laid out, God's glory appeared and the fire devoured the sacrifice. Notice verses 23 and 24 of chapter 9. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed the altar, the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their face. They knew that this was the place where they could worship, and God approved it. He is the one that put the fire to the first burnt offering. God's glory appeared, and fire devoured the sacrifice. This was an event that could be looked to in later times to show God's approval and recorded in the scriptures so that they could go to it and trust it and know that this was the place. This was the place God approved. Not the high places, not those other places, the groves and other places that men devised. No, it was the tabernacle that God approved of. In later times, there was controversy about who the high priest belonged to, the priesthood who it belonged to. In Numbers 16, there was a controversy over the priesthood by Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. God reconfirmed the priesthood of Aaron by two means. One, by destroying Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and by causing Aaron's rod to bud. There it is, that rod that had been dried out for probably decades, and all of a sudden it's producing buds and almonds. And so God showed, after you understand that all the other tribes had their rods there too, that God chose one and caused it to bud. Numbers 17 and verse 8. Numbers 17 and verse 8. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. God showed by that particular action that Aaron's family was the one that was chosen. The Levites were to be the ones who would handle the religious matters. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1, for many years the King David, he had desired to build a house for God in Jerusalem. But he had been a bloody king, he had shed much blood, and so God said no, and set up his son Solomon to do that task. David brought everything together. He had all the gold and the silver, and some of it was so plentiful that it was without weight that you couldn't count that high. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1, David had long desired to build a house for God, but God did not allow. David had prepared for it, but it fell to Solomon to build. 2 Chronicles 2 and verse 4. How did anybody know, though, that God himself approved of this new house, approved it for a new place for worship? They were to go to the tabernacle, and wherever the tabernacle was, they were to take their sacrifices. But the king said, and the prophet said, that this was the new place for worship to God. But how did they know? I wish I could really describe the scene there. As Solomon had provided all of the sacrifices, the courtyards were covered with wood and with animals to be sacrificed that day. And there were so many people, all of Israel was surrounding it. How do you make sure that God is pleased with this? 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. Now, how do you know? Well, if you had been doubting it before that time, the fact that God sent fire to show his approval of the sacrifice that Solomon and the priest had made would remove that doubt forever. The glory of the Lord was in evidence that day. That is his Shekinah glory, as the Old Testament puts it. How would the priest know that the temple is now where they would serve? Well, he left no doubt. There was fire that came down from heaven and showed that God himself approved that place of worship. He approved Elijah the prophet. 1 Kings 18, verse 38. 1 Kings 18, verse 38. In the context, you'll know that Elijah pretty much thought he was a failure in all he did. But he was still trying to bring the people back to God and break them away from Baal. The evil queen had brought Baal worship in, and they were caught up in it. But they agreed that the God who brought down fire, that he was the God that they should worship. The worship of Baal was dominating Israel during the time of Ahab and Jezebel. The people were becoming convinced that Baal was God and his prophets were his spokesmen. Elijah steps in and challenges. "Call down fire," he says. He gave the opportunity to the Baal worshipers first, that if they could call down fire, that Baal would be lifted up. But they were not able. Elijah understood that they would not be able, and there was no way for them to trick anybody. They simply did not do that. They were sincere, and they showed how sincere they were by cutting themselves and scourging themselves and by crying long hours for their God to send fire. But the question was, is Jehovah God? Is Elijah his prophet? And so, if the people were to hear Elijah and understand that Jehovah, that he is God, there was going to have to be something that drew them to that conclusion. But Jehovah leaves no doubt. 1 Kings 18, verses 36 through 38. "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord,' or 'Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God.'" So God approves Elijah, and the people understood that Elijah was the prophet of God in their generation. And Jehovah left no doubt. We see also in the scriptures that God approved his son. The argument is this: would God work miracles through a liar, a deceiver? God worked miracles through him, proving that Jesus was, that his words were true. He raised the dead. Imagine it, if you will. Lazarus come forth, and a man dead 4 days comes from the grave. He stilled the winds and the sea. Remember how he was on the Sea of Galilee and said, "Peace, be still." And the water became a mirror that day. The amazed disciples, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The blind saw. The multitudes were fed. The deaf heard. The demons fled. John testified in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Peter testified in Acts 2 and verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Miracles and wonders and signs. He said, you could not have missed it. It wasn't something done in a corner. It was something done where everybody could see, even in those that temple grounds where they were preaching. God approved of him and said, this is the one. This is the Christ, the one you've been expecting. Hear ye him. God approved his church as well. Acts chapter 2 is the place and the only place where you can find that particular fact set out like it is. It was a day that they had been looking for millennia. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Approval of God, high priesthood, there was fire. With regard to Elijah, fire. With regard to the temple and its worship, fire. Now that fire consumed. We understand that it was a bit different than the fire on the day of Pentecost. But imagine it if you will, if you can, 12 men standing and preaching to the people and try to get around the fact that they were approved of God. They had tongues of fire on their head. They were speaking in tongues that they had never learned. They were showing that God approved of this new thing, this kingdom that they were setting up, this church that was being called out. God approved of his church. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now then, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How do you know that your worship is approved of God? How do you know that the church of Christ is approved by God? It's the only approved way. We know because of signs and wonders. On the day of Pentecost, it was approved by sound. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, a rushing mighty wind. Approved by the appearance of fire. Acts 2, verse 3. Approved by the speaking with tongues. Acts 2, verse 4. They were confounded, verse 6. Amazed, verse 12. They saw and heard, verse 33. Signs were done by these apostles that these signs came upon in Acts chapter 2. That was not the only time. The lame walked. Not too long after that, Peter and John were at the Solomon's portico at the beautiful gate, and there was a man who had been lame from his youth. And they said, he was looking at them for alms. Silver and gold have I none, they said. But what I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And the man rose and walked. Chapter 4, verse 16, it's called a notable miracle, even by their enemies. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the place was shaken at prayer for boldness. The place was shaken. Did God approve of these people and what they were doing? The apostles were released from prison. Acts chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. Stephen worked miracles, one of those that were chosen during the time that the church was building itself. This man began to confound those that were arguing with him, those Greeks that had came from the Grecian synagogue. And he confounded them. They could not stand his wisdom. He showed them to be wrong, in other words. And he ended up dying. But before he did, he had the face of an angel. Chapter 6, verse 15. Philip, another evangelist, was also a worker of miracles. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. There was great joy in the city of Samaria because of the works that he did. And another who they thought was working miracles in time past, he even acknowledged that what Philip did was the true with regard to his false ways. Philip worked miracles, and Jesus then appeared to a man by the name of Saul. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 9, almost to Damascus, within sight of the city. "It's hard for thee to kick against the goads," he said. He had been herding him to a decision to acknowledge that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah that he had been looking for himself, and that he was fighting against that very movement. Many contend that the Church of Christ is not God's church because they don't agree with the doctrines. The doctrines, the men who gave them, and the institution itself has been shown to be approved by God by miracles and wonders and signs. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "How shall we escape so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost." It's undeniable. As one particular preacher said, it's ungetoverable. You can't touch it, top, side, or bottom. This is the church that Jesus built. We ought to be happy because we have been born again into it. We ought to be agreeing with its doctrine. We ought to be teaching that doctrine with every opportunity that we have. We ought to be learning it better with each opportunity that we have. Approved by God. It's as if God stamped his approval from heaven. Have you made the right decision with regard to the church that Jesus built? In time past, people were led to the decision that the priesthood of Aaron was the priesthood that they could go to for the removal of their sins, taking a sacrifice or some other means shown in the law. And they knew that it was approved because of what God showed them and because of the record of it. We see the record of God approving the church that Jesus built. And so we become a member of it. We become that which goes to heaven with it. And so we become saved. If we can assist you in your obedience, if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, if you need to become a member of the approved church that Jesus built, there's no better time than now. You have no promise of tomorrow, and tomorrow may be too late. It may be that Jesus is coming over the horizon right now. We have no way of knowing. Only the Father in heaven knows of that day and time. So it is that you have the opportunity now. We avail you of that opportunity. And if you have once done this but need to ask God for forgiveness because of sins harbored in your life, don't let that time go by. And if it's a public matter, make it known publicly that you have repented of that sin. We can pray for you for your restoration, and you can be as you were before. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?